Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 4. Today, my guest is Claire Goforth-Reed. Claire has an awesome story about spending 8 years to become an attorney and then deciding that that was not her calling, choosing to pursue her real passion, which was writing. Claire works out of Cowork Jacks in Jacksonville, Florida, and she knew it was the place for her the moment she walked in. So have a listen to her story. Enjoy. We mentioned a few resources. The show notes are at www.everythingcoworking.com/4. Welcome, everyone. We are here today with Claire Goforth, who lives in Florida and works out of Cowork Jacks. And she's going to tell us some stories about her journey today. So, Claire, I'm going to say hello and let you do a quick intro before we get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, little background of your career, and anything else you'd like to share with us today.
Thank you for having me. I grew up in a little town called Paw Paw, West Virginia, went to college in North Carolina, and then I moved to Jacksonville for law school in 2005. I graduated, passed the bar, practiced law for a few years, but I was finding that it was very unfulfilling work for me, and I was really unhappy in my life at the time. I had always wanted to be a writer ever since I was a little girl. I used to tell people, even my aunts have stories of me being 8 years old and saying, I'm going to be a writer someday. I had always maintained a relationship with writing. I just didn't think that it was a reasonable career. You know, it just wasn't logical, and I wanted to be logical in my career choices. I didn't want to be living hand to mouth, the starving artist. I wanted to do something that guaranteed a certain level of success. But I learned that it wasn't leading to fulfillment. So I made the decision after about 2.5 years of practice that I was going to pursue my lifelong dream of being a writer. And I left the practice of law, which was a little bit of an interesting transition. I didn't really know how to be a writer. I knew how to write things, but I had no idea how to be a journalist and how to get into the field. So I started reaching out to my personal contacts, and I ended up getting in touch with a writer named Dan Brown, who at the time worked for the local alt weekly, Folio Weekly. And he advised me to try to submit on their back page editorial, which was an open submission that they had, to get in that way. I did a couple of those, and then I started pitching articles to the then editor, Ann Schindler, and got my first big break writing about this zoo bill that was proposed in the state of Florida. It had actually passed the Florida legislature. In the end, the governor vetoed the bill, and in his veto, the language that he used was almost exactly what I had written about the bill in that article. It was, you know, it was just such a wonderful feeling to actually get the sense that I was affecting change, doing work that I love. From there, I just started meeting more writers. It took a couple of years before I finally found a way to work as a writer in a way that could support me and also keep me busy. And now, I mean, I work for several companies. Every day is different. It's so fulfilling to be able to do what you love. And I think that anybody who is faced with the choice between doing something that's pragmatic only because it's pragmatic or doing something that they love, even if there is a great risk involved, should go for something that they love.
Wow, that's a great story. So growing up, you dreamed of being a writer, but felt like you needed to sort of go down the more expected, secure path. Where do you think that expectation came from? Was that a kind of a family expectation?
I think that it was in part family. My parents really emphasized that the most important thing to pursue in life was happiness. But at the same time, how can you be happy if you can't survive? Right. Make a living, you know, and I mean, from teachers and others in your life, I mean, there's so many voices out there who say to people that have this desire to go into the field of the arts, well, that's nice. It's good to have a passion, but you have to remember that you also have to make a living. So, I mean, and it was part of the pressure was coming internally because I wanted to be able to have that lifestyle of, you know, having vacations and not being always broke, you know, going into your 30s and 40s. I just had this image of writers as people who struggle their entire lives and then receive the due that they have longed so much after they pass away or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was definitely from myriad sources, the pressure to pursue a practical career.
How did your friends and family respond when you decided to leave the field of law and pursue your dream?
There were mixed reviews, and I still experience some pressure from outside people to, because I'm still a lawyer. You know, I'm a certified Florida attorney. I worked so hard for that. Mm-hmm. But I think that a lot of people were accepting of it, even though they may not have done the same thing themselves.
Do you have kind of a plan, sort of savings, like knowing it would take you some time to get up to speed financially when you made the transition?
I had a non-plan plan.
Sometimes those are the best.
Yeah, I was like, leap of faith, I'm going to do it. I ended up bartending for a while because I had worked in food service quite a bit throughout my schooling. And the schedule of it, you know, flexibility in that field enabled me to simultaneously make the career shift while supporting myself. But after about a year of that, it was becoming, you know, when you really want to dive into a career, you can't dive into a career for 20 hours a week very easily. Not something that's all encompassing is writing. So after I finally got to a place where I was starting to make some money as a journalist and really needed that time to focus on developing my career, I stopped bartending and, you know, just kept looking forward. You know, I just keep looking forward. And it's something I still have to remind myself sometimes because there are moments when you think, oh, you know, I'm 33 and I just started a new career a couple of years ago after I went to school for 8 years. But I mean, it's not worth being miserable. I just really don't believe that you should work this job that just sucks a little bit of your life out of you day after day after day because it makes sense.
I hear this a lot I listen to a lot of other podcasts and sort of inspirational speakers and books, and I hear the phrase or the sort of the concept a lot that if you do what you love and put the best of yourself into the world, then the money will come along to support that. Is that something you would frame for people thinking about, you know, sort of what they want their future to be like if you could go back to your 25-year-old self?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I started this career with little more than the passion to be a writer. And now, 3 years later, I've been published in several publications, including Al Jazeera, which was by far the most prestigious work that I've done. And, you know, to go from someone with absolutely no training in the field of journalism and no background in it, I did write a couple of things for a local newspaper in college. Seriously, just the most minimal amount of experience as a journalist that you could imagine, to being able to write for one of the most respected publications in the country. I think that if you really apply yourself and if you are willing to make that leap of faith, that anybody can do it.
Awesome. Your story is a great testament to that. What along your path was your greatest struggle?
Figuring out how to make it profitable to a point where I felt comfortable with my income. You know, I mean, it's hard to know how to say no sometimes to story pitches that you get from editors. Having to juggle your time can be interesting when you have several deadlines looming. But I just finding your way, you know, finding your way where you're working full time, not overextending yourself, not giving in to writing things that, you know, just are maybe too time consuming. There's a lot of content mills out there, and there's a lot of ways that writers can get sidetracked into situations where it's just not worth their time.
Yep. So staying focused and keeping your sort of eye on the long-term goal and not getting sidetracked with short-term distractions that might seem like a good idea to pay the rent.
And don't be afraid to pitch to a publication that you aren't sure that you're qualified for, because it's not about being qualified, it's about the work product.
Yeah, and I think your note about not being afraid is something that we all struggle with, is sort of not doing things because there's a fear or an ego involved, especially in writing, because that's your probably sort of a particularly sensitive, I mean, it's really your creative work and completely your process. Well, and I love that you share that it takes time. I think when we all embark on something new, we have media examples that help us to think that there's going to be, you know, that any success should be quick, and, you know, that there's not a long journey involved. There won't be times when you think maybe it's not going to work or you're not going to be able to have the lifestyle that you want to have. But if you persevere and you stay on the path and you stay focused and you stick with doing what you love, then it can happen.
I really believe that. At first, I was terrified. But, I mean, when you're terrified, sometimes that's the best way to be.
Yep. You can make yourself do a lot of good things when you need to, right?
You can. Fear is a great motivator.
Yep. So what has been your biggest success to date?
Getting a contract with Al Jazeera was my biggest on-paper success. I would say personally the biggest success has the growing confidence that I have in my abilities and my work. When I first started, I felt very timid about it. I felt very underqualified and uncertain that I could write about artists. You know, I interviewed Peter Max, who is, I mean, world-renowned, one of the most successful artists that is alive today. When you're in a position where you're interviewing this person that's done thousands of interviews, who used to, you know, he used to take the Beatles to lunch and sort of mentor them. I mean, this guy has done everything and been everywhere. And, you know, here I am, little, you know, for just starting out freelancer. But it turned out to be a great interview. It turned out to be a great conversation. I later met him. And, you know, little victories like that over, you know, you're terrified when you make that phone call a little bit, you know, but you have to do it. You dive right in. You know, and these experiences, they sort of build into a point where you feel like, I really can do this. I can do this. I can interview the mayor. I can interview someone from Congress. I'll get the governor on the phone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I might have to call his office 10 times and email them 20 times, but I'm going to get him on the phone.
Right. Totally. There's a book that I love the title of it, and I sort of use it as my mantra sometimes, which is feel the fear and do it anyway. Like some of the best things come out of doing what you're afraid of doing, like that interview that you did and the confidence that grew from that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I like that. Feel the fear and do it anyway.
We all, I think, assume that most people are not afraid of a lot of things, but most of us are afraid of a lot of things, and we just kind of do them anyway. And the people who every day do something little that they're afraid of will be the ones that make the progress, even though it's hard to do. Are there resources that have helped you in your journey that you would share with others?
Reaching out to other writers. We tend to be very open, and I'm sure this is true in a lot of career fields, because anybody who's worked as a writer for any amount of time knows how hard it is to start out. And I've countless times had writers that are, you know, they want to just break into the field and approach me, and I'm happy to give people advice. I'm happy to help them out with the contact. Even if you just email someone who you read an article that you like and you think, wow, that was very well said. We so rarely get those compliments that anyone that emails somebody to say, I love your work, I am looking to get into this field, could you possibly give me any advice? I mean, it's amazing how open people are. If there's not, you know, it's not a guarded secret society. It's something where, you know, we're all in this together. So I find that other writers are really a very valuable resource. There's obviously a lot on the internet, but it's just a wormhole that you go down, and so often it turns out to just send you in loops. You'll learn a lot. I've learned a lot from the internet, but I can't say, other than my LinkedIn profiles and social profiles, that I've really had any valuable work come from Google searches. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's still the in-person connections that you make that make the big difference.
Definitely.
So speaking of which, tell us about Cowork Jacks and why you decided to join a co-working space.
I had been working from home for a while, and actually my husband caught the Jacksonville Business Journal article about Cowork Jacks the month that it opened. And I had found that working from home, and I continue to find this, that while you can be very productive at times, it can be very distracting, and the isolation, it gets in the way of the work process. So he said, hey, why don't you go down there and check it out? So I came down here. They had literally been open for 2 weeks. And from the moment I walked in, I said, this is the place for me. You know, I mean, the location is extremely ideal. The space is wonderfully done. And I love the constant changing faces. You know, there's people that are here all the time. There's new people here every day. Just being around other people, working, and having somebody to ask a question, it's an invaluable resource because, you know, I can help them when they're wording an email that is very important. They can help me figuring out how to use Skype. You know, we all have different things we bring to the table. And it's nice to have people around just to bounce ideas off sometimes or to have lunch with. I mean, I think anybody who's working from home should consider a co-working space if there's one in their area.
I love it. So Cowork Jacks is on 5 West 4th Street in Jacksonville, Florida. And their URL is cowork.jacks.com, and they are on Twitter at cowork.jacks. So outside of co-working, how do you find your tribe? How do you find your people that sort of keep you going and inspire you in your work?
That's an interesting question. Everywhere. People that I've worked with at various publications are definitely part of the tribe. I mean, we keep each other apprised of different things that are going on around town. The people that I meet here, a lot of them are really keyed into the local culture, and they can be a really valuable resource to, you know, tell you about an event or tell you about something that is going on that will be of interest to you. I mean, you just have to be open to talk about your life and be real with people. And it's amazing how many, many connections you can make when you're just willing to have a conversation with a stranger.
I love it. That's great advice, being open. It's the other thing about every day we should be a little bit afraid and then be a little bit open to what might come our way. So if we want to find you and follow your work online, where can we do that?
You can go to my Twitter, C_Reed, that's C_Reed, R-E-E-D. And if you search Claire Goforth Reed, I'll come up there. You said this is going to be uploaded in mid-August?
Yes.
Okay, so my website is in under construction. It should be ready by then. It's Claire Goforth at ClaireGoForth.com, ClaireGoForth .com.
Yep. Congratulations on getting your name as your URL, especially this late in the game. I've been trying to get mine, and it is impossible. I guess that's what that's one of the advantages of having a unique name, is your URL is still available.
I guess so, yeah. When it was available, I bought it right away. I haven't even put anything on there yet. I've had it for months, but I realized that, you know, it was very lucky it was available, and it's definitely one of the benefits of having a name like Goforth.
Yep, and important for a writer to have your own URL, so that's great. Well, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate your time and your willingness to share your story, because it's so helpful for all of us to hear and get a little inspiration out of other people's journeys. So we really, really appreciate your time today.
Oh, no, thank you, Jamie. I appreciate it.
thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.